I hope you do not suddenly get that, you know, feeling inside that, it's another message about giving. Yes, it is another message about giving today, but it is in the context of stewardship that we've been looking at, you know, the last and also this month. However, this morning, we are not trying to convince anyone to give or to give more. You know, no one is able to do that. God is the only person who can do the convicting. Unless God convicts and constrains us, you know, no one would be motivated to give. And we also know that God is faithful. He would always provide for us. However, this morning, what I'd like to do is that, you know, to share with you something about the spiritual aspect of giving. Just like, you know, our last song, The Greatness of God, that giving, when it is done right, when it is understood in the proper context, would help us to understand a little bit more, to experience a little bit more about the greatness, the awesome greatness of God in our lives. There is spiritual power, encouragement in giving. You know, in a way, giving is fertilizer to the Christian lives. We are not talking so much about, you know, giving in terms of money. We're also talking about giving in terms of our time, our temple, about our ability, our talents. You know, it applies to the whole aspect of stewardship. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you are the only one who can constrain us, who can motivate us, and who can delight us to give. We thank you that you are the source of our blessings. And we thank you that as believers and as a church, you have always been providing for us. So this morning, O Lord, speak to each and every one of us here in your tender, loving, and yet convicting manner, that you are a God who is more than able to supply, for you are a God that is exceedingly great. We thank you, O Lord, for that assurance that you are a great and awesome God. And so help us to respond in a way that would only delight you, but also grow ourselves spiritually. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know that there are, you know, plenty of reasons why Christians are not giving or find it difficult to give to the work of God. For one thing, number one, you know, you probably have heard about this, you know. Some people don't give because they have very little or no income, and that is very true. We need to be very, you know, realistic and very sensitive to that. Sometimes it is difficult for people to give because they do not have, you know, quite as much as they would like. Number two, you know, some people would like to reserve more for their family, for their children or their children's children, and that is also a very, very good, you know, reason. You know, after all, the Bible says, you know, parents are blessings to their children, and as parents, the way God has cared for us, we also need to make sure that we care in the right way for our children and their children. So these are very good reasons. But I have a friend who told me that, you know, a very good friend, I'm not giving because I do not necessarily agree with the way the church uses money. I'm not sure whether you have heard, you know, this before. I have also another very, very good friend that I met, you know, back in the seminary days. And this is what he shared one time, you know, with a few of us. I'm a full-time pastor. I have already given myself fully to serve the Lord, and that is my offering to God. And therefore, now this is my word, therefore I'm exempted from tithing. We were talking about tithing then, you know. I don't think he meant that, you know, I'm not going to give, you know, anything to God at all. But in the context of tithing and offering, he felt that, you know, because he was already a full-time minister, therefore, you know, he doesn't have to tithe or to give. I'm also a learner when it comes to giving. I do believe that God wants giving to be an adventure, a faith-building experience with him, not a burden to be endured or dodged. And when we step out in faith, God would open doors for us by providing for our needs, and he would also do so by increasing our faith. And this is the faith that places us in a position to receive God's power, experience His goodness and greatness, and to change the world. Four things to remember. Oh, by the way, I didn't finish the other sets of the reasons. You know, other reasons why people find it difficult to give is, you know, let other people do it, all right? And then another reason, you know, they aren't interested in me. They just want my money. I hear that from time to time, from believers and especially non-Christians. And I think sometimes, you know, the church has made giving and finances such a, you know, difficult topic that, you know, people react this way. Giving to the church is like putting money down the bottomless, okay, or look at the lifestyle of the church or the pastor. Look at the jewelry, the expensive jewelry the pastor is wearing. Maybe expensive car he drives, you know, pricey house they live in. And this is the final one that I've heard from someone else, from a very well-to-do believer who has a heart to serve God. You know what? Giving to the church is like putting money down a bottomless pit. You give and give and give. But the church, is never satisfied. One of the things that we need to, you know, remember about giving, you know, the kind of giving that will build your spiritual life and my spiritual life is this. Lesson number one, giving can really make us feel good. Giving can really, you know, delight us. There is something unusual about the believers in the Macedonian churches. They love to give, you know, by modern day standard, in terms of comparing their giving and the way, you know, modern day churches are giving, some would think that they are a little bit unusual. Why would we say that? Number one, we say that, you know, not one, not two, not three believers, not one, not two, not three churches, but a number of believers, congregations, and churches were doing, you know, exactly the same thing. Chapter 8, verse 1, you know, Macedonian churches. It's not just a small group of people. It's not just one congregation, but they were all doing the same thing, you know. We have to understand that Paul here was talking about giving of our finances, but he meant other kinds of giving too. For instance, if you read, you know, down the chapters and into other, you know, writings that Paul has written, you will find that, you know, Paul also referred to the giving of our love, giving of time, giving of encouragement, giving of appreciation, and other kinds of support and helps. In verse 2, we notice that, you know, these Macedonian Christians and congregations, you know, they gave despite very severe circumstances. We understand a little bit of what they were going through, persecution, famine, you know, life was tough, and yet they try to give with joy. Verse 3, they gave beyond their ability entirely on their own, you know. They were not coerced or not forced to give. And verse 4, you know, they were dying to give. They were pleading with Paul, not just once, you know, but again and again, asking Paul to give them the privilege, you know, of sharing in the work of the ministry. So they were asking Paul to make them also partners in ministries. In verse 5, we see three different, you know, features of these giving congregations. Their giving exceeded the expectations of Paul and his team. Paul recognized that, you know, their giving has something to do with their spirituality, their level of Christian understanding, Christian maturity. It is because, you know, they have the right kind of spiritual understanding on giving that they were able to keep giving despite their very difficult circumstances. And also in verse 5, we notice that, you know, their giving pleases God. It was good for them. They knew that, you know, when they gave, when they shared their time, their love, their encouragement, their finances, you know, they were doing so according to the will of God. They were never forced, you know, into doing it. And verse 6 and 7, here we notice that, you know, Paul was acknowledging their spiritual understanding. You know, you have the right idea, you know, my brothers and sisters in the Macedonian churches, because what you were doing, it is actually a grace of giving, an empowering from God for you to give, for you to share. So in verse 6 and also in verse 7, you know, Paul is saying that, you know, what you are doing, it is an act, an activity of grace. Yes, you are doing it, but it is God who is doing it with you, through you, and behind you. You know, God is very much there with you. And therefore, when you give, you not only give of yourself, we are also sharing the Lord Jesus with other people in the form of your givings. And very important for us to note in the beginning of verse 8 is that Paul commended the example. But Paul did not say that everyone else has to do exactly the same thing. Paul was using them as an example to encourage other people. And Paul says, you know, take note of what they have been doing. And if possible, emulate or copy the example. It is not a command from Paul. So from all these verses together, we would say that, you know, it is possible for congregations, for a believer that doesn't seem to have much, to give abundantly and beyond their means, like the example we have read in these verses. But more importantly, giving is fun. Giving can be very fun, okay? It is joyful. It brings out or creates happiness in the people who gives. It puts smiles not only on people's face, you know, people who are receiving it, it also puts smiles on your face. It can actually do that. The Macedonian Christian seems to love giving. For them, there is joy, J-O-Y, in giving, and giving creates a good feelings in them. And that is a far cry from the kind of giving we see in churches today. People, brothers and sisters, do we dare to believe, as believers and as a church, that there are more blessings in giving than we could imagine? That giving, such as the example we just read, can be an enjoyable, even exciting experience for believers? In fact, if you read down, you know, the rest of chapter 8 and into chapter 9, you would find that, you know, you would encounter this familiar verse in chapter 9, verse 7. This is Paul, you know, continuing on the topic of giving, the grace of giving, the empowering by God to give. Paul was saying that, you know, believe it or not, God loves a cheerful, a hilarious giver. Imagine that. God loves a hilarious giver. God loves us to give in such a way that it will make us so joyful, so happy that we will want to keep sharing what he has given to us. Now, is God really telling us that giving is supposed to feel good? I think at least from this passage, that's what God is telling us. But isn't giving supposed to feel like a necessary household chore? Like when you have to take out the kitchen trash, you know? But yet God says, you know, look at the examples. Giving should be able to stir our spirits, to uplift each and every one of us, rather than quenching us. So therefore we ask, are we missing something on the grace and joy of giving, of sharing? It doesn't have to be about finance, about sharing time, sharing encouragement, sharing care with someone else. We know that, of course, there are always financial constraints and pressures, but God is more than able to lead his people to pastures that are green. Giving should feel good according to these examples. Stretching faith is always difficult for us, but it does bring out the very best spiritual feeling you can imagine. Giving to God has a positive impact. It somehow builds your faith and my faith. It motivates us spiritually. And that's what we want to talk about and learn together today. Something about the greatness of God in a simple act of giving. I'm still learning in this discipline, but I can share with you that somehow when you give with that kind of attitudes, with God enabling you, you would experience a joy, a presence of God that you would find it very difficult to put into words. There is a settled peace, a settled power in you, and you would say, wow, this is God doing it for you, with you, and through you. So that's lesson number one. You know, whether you believe or not, whether you have experienced it from time or not, you know, giving can feel good. Giving can make us, you know, more joyful. Giving can build our faith up, so much so that, you know, we have an even more confident and optimistic outlook on life, regardless of what we are facing. Lesson number two, God is a source of blessing. I want to say something quick about this second lesson, and then, you know, I know that I have given you, you know, sort of quite a few paragraphs, but we're going to skip the second half of this lesson number two, you know. I want to, you know, share with you Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. I think that, you know, why giving is difficult for churches and many believers, even though they want to follow God, it could be that, you know, very often we make the mistake thinking that the source of our income is our bank account, that the source of our income is my job, my ability, the time that I invested in, you know, my intellect. It is true, but it is not entirely true. It helps if we could recognize that, you know, our job, our help, our intellect, our time are the means by which we earn income. And God is the source of our income. Why do we say that? Deuteronomy chapter 8. You know, Moses was reminding the people even before the days of abundance that they would soon experience. And Moses told them, and God is telling us today the same thing too, you know, money, ability, intellect are not the sources of our income. They are simply the means by which God, the source, provides blessings to us. So therefore, in verse 18, Moses says, you know, but remember the Lord your God. Remember the Lord your God. Pay attention to him, for he is the one who gives you the ability to produce wealth. He's the one who enables you to have the strength, the opportunity, the skill to end up with a job. And so, therefore, you know, remember that it is God who makes your income possible. So that's lesson number two, you know. God is actually the source of our income, not the bank account, not our carefully managed investments. Lesson number three, fight fear with faith. And this is very important, and this is very difficult for a lot of people, including pastors and including myself. Why doesn't giving bring joy to most believers? Why aren't we experiencing the kind of blessings, the kind of joy that the Bible says we should? I honestly believe that, you know, for a lot of brothers and sisters, the reason why they find it difficult to give is not because they aren't committed enough to the Lord. Many of them, majority of them, are very committed believers. They are people who were born again and they love the Lord dearly. They have heard a lot of ought-to messages and commitment messages. They know the needs of ministry. They know the needs of the facilities and of the church. They know the importance of mission, and many of them want to obey God. And this is very true for many, many of the churches and believers. But however, I think perhaps the number one reason why believers find it difficult to give generously is because of the four-letter word, fear. Fear. Fear about the future. Fear about not having enough to pass it on to our loved ones. Fear about not having enough money to pay for the bills. Fear. And it is this kind of fear that very oftentimes is manipulated by our enemy, the devil, to put us right where he wants us, you know, immobilizing us, paralyzing us, shortchanging us, so that eventually we fail to see God's greatness. God as a provider, God as a caretaker, God as the blesser in every kind of situation. Because we are too much in bondage by fear. And so as a result, you know, your spiritual life and my spiritual life, you know, is sort of, you know, in prison. We do not see any escape. I also know that kind of fear myself, because recently I have experienced it, not once, not twice, but on three occasions. I want to be honest with you. You know, before my sabbatical, which began in April, you know, back in February and March, I've actually made tentative plans to visit, you know, several parts of China for mission purposes. I told Greg and Luna that, you know, I'll see you most likely, you know, such and such a month. I've also, you know, settled on a date to visit Brother Wang. You know, his schedule is very difficult to match. But, you know, he was gracious enough to say that, you know, come, this is the best week for me. And I said, you know, okay, we're going, you know, we have a date. And then Greg and Luna were also interested. And we also talk about visiting a missionary agency that has visited our church, you know, two Novembers ago. And they were situated on the northern part of Thailand. So a lot of these trips were all planned, you know. But second, you know, by the first half of April, you know, soon my health came crashing down. Yes, I did make a lot of trips, but all these trips were to the doctor's offices, you know. None of those overseas trips, you know, was ever materialized. And so, you know, I have to see a lot of doctors. I have to see a lot, you know, I have to go through a lot of tests, you know. At one time I was, you know, consulting among six different doctors, including my primary care doctors. Everyone was trying to be very helpful, you know. Try this test, try that test. I even have one doctor suggested to me that you might want to try some kind of a, you know, like an MRI kind of thing. They'll put you in a tube, you know, a confined tube, and there they'll pump oxygen, you know, to surround your whole body for about 2.5 hours. However, you know, this facility is not covered at all by the insurance company. By the time by the middle of June, when all the bills started to come in, I found that, you know, all these tests and expenses, you know, were piling up. Besides what the insurance company, you know, were able to cover, I still have a lot of bills to pay. And I usually will make it a habit that, you know, yes, I pay with credit card, you know. I usually will make a habit that, you know, at the end of each billing cycle, I would pay the whole thing. You know, I would try not to, you know, pay an installment because I don't want to, you know, pay for the interest. So even though it was difficult in June, you know, I paid the whole thing, you know. And in July, the same thing too, you know. But when I make my entire payment in June, you know, I suddenly got a note from my bank 10 days later on that, you know, your bank balances had dipped below the required minimum. So they start charging me service charge and all these and other kind of fees. So I was starting to get worried. You know, to be honest, I was starting to get a little bit of fearful too. God, you know, I may not have enough. You know, I may not have enough because I do want to pay off the whole thing. How desperate I was. First, I thought about calling up my brother in Australia to help. And then later on, I thought about, you know, maybe I could dip into my regular tithes and offerings that I've set aside for church. I'm thankful that someone, you know, in the church is helping me, you know, set aside the amounts for building, you know, regular offering and things like that, you know, every month. That way, you know, I do not have to worry about writing checks, you know, to different, you know, for different offerings, you know. And I was thinking that, you know, maybe I could ask this person to either half the amount or maybe, you know, to stop my tithes and offering just for the month of July, June, July, and maybe August. And after all, I could make up for it by, say, you know, come September or maybe October and November, you know, I would be able to reimburse the tithes and offering that I borrowed from, you know. Or even if I couldn't do that, surely God understands. God knows that I'm having a difficult time. God knows my concern, my fear, and my worry, you know. Would God blame me? Probably not. Because, you know, I didn't ask for this. You know, God, I'm in this very tough situation. And just as I was about to, you know, finally decide to temper with my offerings, with my givings, you know, the Holy Spirit steps in and reminded me of God's ability and faithfulness to provide for me. Yes, God knows my need, and He was asking me to fight fear and uncertainty with faith in Him, even though it is just a little bit more faith in Him. And this is the verse that came to mind, especially, you know, in the part it says, you know, test me, God says, test me in this. Whatever you're in, Charles, test me in this and see if I would not throw open the floodgates of heavens and take care of your needs. It takes a step of faith. Okay, it takes several steps of faith for me to trust in God. But God's encouragement was so clear and personal, inviting, you know, let me prove my love to you. I will bless you. I would help you. I would bless you. I would help you. And God definitely did bless me and help me, you know. Not just once, not twice, but three times. I wanted to temper with my offering. And I knew that God would probably, you know, wouldn't say too much, okay? Wouldn't be too harsh on me. But three times the Holy Spirit stepped in, you know. This time, again, fights fear, fights worry with a little bit of faith in the Lord Jesus. And I found that, you know what's happening? When I started to obey that, each time I experienced and discovered some kind of a spiritual breakthrough. It is as if, yes, you know, I was still going through, you know, a very difficult times in terms of my health. But it was as if, you know, God was lifting my spirits from whatever was bothering me. I could sense that not only was God providing, but I could sense that, you know, God was so awesome. He was so great. He was so faithful. You know, he makes everything work together. You know, I didn't believe that he was able to do that. Yeah, I kind of did, you know, but I didn't know that God would actually do it for me. So God actually took care of all my needs. And there was a wonderful, wonderful, you know, rejuvenation in terms of my walk with God. I did not have a lot of energy then, you know, and sometimes even mental thoughts would drain, you know, drain a lot out of me. But this feeling of strength from God, encouragement from him, you know, just kept me going for many, many weeks. So I want to encourage you and share with you to fight whatever concern you have with faith. You know, you can do it gradually. And you're not sure, you know, I would love to sit down with you and share with you a little bit more of what I learned from the Lord. And even if we are willing to fight fear with faith, what do we do next? Set the pace. We can do it in two ways. One is that, you know, perhaps God is challenging you to become a tither. You know, one tither at a time. Don't worry about what other people are telling you. God may be challenging you, you know, to set tithing as a guide for your goal. Maybe say for the next 3 months or so, you know. Be an example to other people. Be a giver. Because when you start putting your faith in God in that manner, God says, you know, then I will move. I will do my part. I would action my plan for you. So that's one thing, you know. Don't look at other people and don't expect them to be a tither. But ask God, you know, God, are you moving me in this direction? And God may well say, you know, yes, I am, a little step at a time. The second way is that, you know, if you're not sure about tithing, but perhaps we can ask God to give us a little bit more faith at a time to increase our giving. Again, not always about money, but it could be money. It could be to increase our time, our compassion for other people, you know, one increment at a time. And you would find that, you know, when we do it, you would see that God is already doing his part for you. But more importantly, you know, he opened doors for you in a way that you can truly personally experience. And the joy you experience, the confidence, the new confidence in God as a result of that is yours and yours alone. You might find it difficult to put into words, but inside your heart, there is this grateful, solid feeling that I'm glad, God, you did it for me. I can't quite describe it, but I know, you know, you are great. You are awesome. You are loving. You are providing, and you are compassionate. Jesus says, you know, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be, you know. Usually we hear people using this verse to discourage people from piling your treasure on earth, or that, you know, this is where your heart is, so therefore, you know, these are all your treasures is, you know. It may not have much to do with the kingdom of God, but I know that a lot of believers, you know, including us here, our heart is really on the Lord Jesus. Doesn't matter, you know, how much we serve, how much we give, all those kind of things aside, you and I, our hearts are on the Lord Jesus, you know. And precisely because your heart is on the new heaven and earth, okay? And our heart is on the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it possible for us to ask God to help us move a little bit more of our treasure in other places to where our heart is, to the Lord Jesus? More of our care, more of our compassion, more of our encouragement to where the Lord Jesus is and share it with other people. You know, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. But where our heart already is, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us also learn to move gradually a little bit of our treasures elsewhere to where our heart is already is, on the Lord Jesus, you know. I know your challenge, your lessons are different from my challenge and my lessons, but nevertheless, let us learn together. And you experience that over and over again, God is great because he makes those who give, makes those who share truly joyful, truly energized in a spiritual manner. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you because we know that this is a tough lesson, but it is a lesson that we can learn little by little. It is a lesson that reminds us that you are more than able to provide. It is a lesson, O Lord, that will become fresh, new, and energizing every day as we follow you. Thank you. In the name of our loving Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.